Blog Talk Radio.
Thing. Can you hear me, Lisa?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes. Okay. We had a little bit of a problem there with the audio, so Lisa fixed it, so it's all good now. So I'd like to say hello and good evening to the audience and everybody that's listening. And I am the host of tonight's show. I'm Lady A, and my illustrious co-host is Lisa Lips, and she has, hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Doing all right. And I would like to say, to start off, we had a little bit of an advertisement there that we are the Inkwell, and we are Epiphany Radio, part of the For Real Entertainment Network, and this is sponsored by Raw Links. So why be average when you can be raw? And I've got my Raw Links beautiful bracelet on. Do you have yours on, Lisa?
Absolutely do.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. They're gorgeous pieces of jewelry that are individually made. And I want to give a shout out and thank the CEO of Epiphany Radio and the CEO and creator of Raw Links, For Real Poet Douglas. And you can acquire this gorgeous jewelry called Raw Links on Amazon, Instagram, and Raw Links Be Raw at Facebook.com. And if you can't get a hold of anybody there, can't find the jewelry, you can get in touch with those of us that are on the Epiphany Radio, and we can turn you on to Raw Links' information so you can be a part of this jewelry, gorgeous jewelry phenomenon. I think it's really classy, beautiful pieces of jewelry with gemstones and golden colored trinkets on it, and wood and beads. It's just beautiful stuff. So I encourage you all to look into that. And so our show is pretty much a new show right now. This is our second go at Kick at the Can, and we have. My screen is going in and out and in and out, so I'm not sure why that's happening. It's always the way you have to get on here, and then you have all these little crinks and wrinkles to iron out. And so our show is called The Inkwell, and we want to know what moves your pen. And for those of you that are listening, if you feel like if you've already penned something to that effect, great, and we hope that we can hear you spit that out loud, and we encourage you to call. If you're listening, you can call. The number is 319-527-6300 and press 1, and that will put your hand up in the studio, and we'll know that you want to speak and share your poetry with us. So without further ado, let me see, what else can we do right now? I'm just, okay, you're looking, and Lisa's looking after the switchboard, and I think that we can, we've got four people that have been waiting for a while. So Lisa, what do you want to do? Do you want to bring them in, or do you want to read our poetry first, or stick it in later on? What do you want to do?
It's quite fine, either way you want to do it. I got a piece ready if you want me to go.
Yeah, there's one person that's been waiting for like 18 minutes, and I think maybe we could bring that person on and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 419.
Hello, ladies. This Rebel Jones.
Hey, Rebel.
Hey, I came to show some love.
Thank you. I'm so happy to hear from you. I heard you last
night.
Yes, ma'am. Your poetry was great, so I'm glad you called in. And I'm gonna ask you the question. What when you're writing, what moves your pen?
Oh man, it's I don't think it's something that's explainable. You know, it just is. It just happens. A lot of times, I don't even know the content I'm writing. I just write, and I write, and when I read it, I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, I don't know. It just happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to feel it.
I've been learning to get a little bit more disciplined with my pen, and I've been doing prompts in one of the Facebook groups with Clarence, with C32 Music, and I've been honing a little discipline on my pen instead of just writing wild and seeing how it works, you know, seeing how it comes out.
Great. Have you got a piece for us tonight?
Yeah, and you might have heard this already, Lady A, because I think there's about 14 prompts from Nyla's show in this piece that I wrote a few weeks back. And one of the main prompts was the title, and that was Don't Touch Me There.
Okay, yeah.
That was my prompt, by the way, so of course I had to write to it.
Well, when you're ready,
so that's what
you're
I'm
ready
do
to give up the floor to you, and you can take it away.
Nah, it's called Don't Touch Me There. Yo, I got a message from an anonymous listener of my spoken word just the other day. And the message read something like this. Dear poet Rebel Jones, please, I beg of you, don't touch me there anymore. Play so deeply in my soul with those words that you just seem to roar, captivating the listening audience in a trance of forgotten ways, perhaps. I was just born in the wrong era, waking up one day on the wrong side of history. Well, I stopped in my tracks before reading on because, well, these words that I read in this message seemed to hauntingly resonate with my very thoughts. There was a time, you know, a time I was truly programmed and institutionalized, and all that remained of the natural me was written thoughts on toilet paper that read like philosophic poetry, square after square, as if whatever human remains left in me was screaming out for release and help. Who was this man that I once was that thought such thoughts? So I read on as one simply must when captivated into such depth of thoughts that never end, ending never. This is just the beginning of the end of never ending. What? And now I felt that I had just fallen into a darkness and a void of confusion surrounded with eerie sounds, and there were crowds of disembodied laughter and voices that began getting louder, and something or someone then began stoning me with hardened, crumpled paper, and then the lights came on. And in each laughing entity was a given face, and each face that laughed and filled me with shame and disgust was each mask I wear when I feel I must. This spoke volumes to me. Oppression of others is a terrible thing, but truly a travesty when one oppresses one's better self. However, tomorrow the sun shines once more where I can give moments of silence to mourn yesterday's self, a passing of sorts, a time that can never be again, and I can put on my happy shirts and smile and go out into the great big world and thank everyone I see for waking up today. And by the way, my dog is cooler than yours. Can we talk? And I don't just mean about politics or sports. I mean, like, let's travel deeper and farther into, like, childlike thoughts. I want to know what you would do if you were a frog. Or what if I asked you, my new friend, to travel with me to the next town? Then let's gather some more interesting people, you know, the musicians, the painters, the poets, the sculpting hands and that shape life into music, mused and pens enchanted. Now, getting back to that individual's letter, it read, don't touch me there anymore. As if you had stepped into my carcass and felt the things that I felt. Well, doesn't this individual understand what it means to truly be an artist? It is our very duty to touch you there as deep as we can. It is our duty to create something that will be someone's everlasting memory. Sincerely yours, Rebel Jones. Peace.
Wow. Yes, you read that the other night, and I was quite moved by it then. I love how you put this together. I love how you've turned this into a, first of all, you lure people in with that line, don't touch me there. And then you get,
yeah.
That's a really good hook line. I thought that was a great way to start your piece. And then, you know, the person that's writing in was so affected by what you had to say that it moved her to a place where she didn't want or he didn't want to feel. Didn't want to feel those emotions. Those the depth of that person. They didn't want to feel whatever happiness or sadness was in their lives. I thought this was a really well written piece in that sense that you've used metaphor in it and the masks that we wear so that we don't let people know that we do feel what we feel when we hear words.
That
words,
was the part really that spoke to me myself when reading it was like, I get on the radio or I get on TikTok or Facebook and do a video and I'm smiling at you and thanking you for waking up. But just 10 minutes ago, I might have been the most miserable motherfucker you ever met, you know? Like, it's so true.
And I love how how you've gone deeper into that and saying, you know, to using the phrase, you know, they've wakened up. They woke up and realized, you know, that there was more to themselves that they were willing to admit, good or bad. And let's talk deeper with childlike thoughts. And then, you know, because the honesty of children, right? Kids are honest. They'll say whatever's on. Yeah. And we need to get back to that place a lot of times. And I loved how you put, you kind of chastised the writer by saying, you know, painters and poets and musicians, that's their duty to make us feel. And I loved how you ended that like that. That was beautiful. What did you think,
Thank
Lisa?
You.
You're welcome.
Rebel, you know I love you. Whatever you come on here and do, I love you dearly.
Oh, thank you.
Because I love the force in your voice. I love the way you present yourself. You put so much emotion behind everything you do, and it just moves my soul when I hear you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Congratulations, ladies, on your show as well.
Oh, thank you so
really
much.
Cool.
Thank you. Calling in.
Is this going to be an every Friday thing?
We're every other Friday. We're opposite of Renaissance.
Yeah.
Okay.
However,
I don't get
a chance
to call into too many shows, so.
Yeah. The next couple of weeks, though, we're going to be doing shows because they've had a bit of a rest period, let's say. And so Lisa and I will be back next week and the week after also. So for this month,
awesome.
At least, we'll be back each Friday for another couple of weeks. So that'll be great if you could get a chance to call back. And thank you for your poetry. I really appreciate the depth that you showed in this piece. And I find it refreshing, especially to hear a man being able to express himself that way. I've always admired the male writers on this Epiphany Network because, you know, they're able to say the things that, especially for women to listen to. It's amazing to me that some guys can be that thoughtful, and you are one of them like that with your piece.
Oh, thank you. You gave me goosebumps and made my cheeks red, so.
Okay. So we're gonna escort you, get Lisa to escort you over to the what is our lounge called? I forget again.
We
Lisa?
Are the Spill. It's the Spill Lounge. You get to be the first one to crack a bottle tonight.
Oh, awesome. Hey, and
yeah.
It wouldn't be Rebel Jones if I didn't say, ladies, thank you for waking up today.
Oh.
And we thank you as well.
Thank you. Stick around and enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Thanks so much.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Wasn't that a powerful piece?
I love Rebel.
Was so good. Yeah. So we have two callers. I think we should get a couple of men that have been there quite a while yet and go from there. And then after, like, we'll do one more and then I'll do a little station break. And
okay. All right. So the next one I see in line is 615. Hello, 615. Who do we have on the mic?
It's funny. You have my brother, Rebel P on, and he asked me if I was going to be on. It's C-34 Music in stereo. Ladies, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing very well, sitting in the Kroger, looking at people trying to look at me like I'm Rockwell.
Good.
Yeah.
Lisa, I
do have a few questions for you before we get to the question.
Okay.
Lisa?
Yes?
Is the water hot?
Is the water hot?
Yes. Is the water hot?
I suppose so.
Lisa?
Yes.
Lisa? Is the water ready?
Yes. The water
shall
is
we begin? Shall
yes,
we begin? You see what I did there, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Just gave you a little purple. Okay, what's the question?
The question is, what moves your pen?
I would like to be like Frank Thomas so I could say, and she'll love it too, you know, like a blue pill or something like that, but that's not the pen you're talking about. Never mind. My pen, I don't know. It could be anything that moves it, like I'm in a parking lot. I'm looking at this red truck. I might write about it. It could be about what I wrote last night. Pertaining to my daughter, anything can move my pen. It could be a commercial, could be a pastor doing false prophecies and stuff. Anything.
Ooh, that's a heavy topic.
I think of these things.
Yeah. So do tell us what has moved your pen this evening.
I did this on a show a few years ago before that was hosted by La Perla Negra and Miss VIP. And in dedication to the Hall and Oates debate and whatever they're going through, I got this piece called Adult Education.
When you're ready, my friend, take the stage.
All right. It seems like you've developed selective amnesia, that you're now hearing impaired. You're blind to the fine print on the manuscripts and the recorded information from weeks past, the evidence that could be self-incriminating. But play that part around 1 hour, 28 minutes, and 16 seconds, where it said, it's none of they business how I get mine with my woman in our bedroom. Unfortunately, you desire max headroom to satisfy your sexual innuendos. By giving me this oral examination that fascinates your fantasy of what you've been craving, attempting to place me at the head of the class, robbing me of what I've given you and siphoning me like you're this vacuum of knowledge in this pantheon without any panties on. Marking us, trying to play me twice around my batting balls, ready for a doubleheader. Offering lip service around my membership, having its privileges, as you tighten your grip in this embrace around my waist. You taste greatness exploding and surrounding the mouthpiece of this hurricane. Now, am I obligated in this environment under license as I lie limp? I can't stay in this adulterous apartment because what you've done now is found out after you said goodbye to yesterday. Why, it's so hard. Felt so good that you should win 3 Tony Awards. Never mind. But I find myself asking to be not led into temptations by my Lord because you're curious in discovering what you can get from me coming here. Knowing I'm with someone else, but apparently apathetic as you try to unplug me through suctioning my genius until I present you with pearl necklaces as your neck works in your network effectively. Mercy me, these images implanted. I can only imagine on that island of fantasies as you approach the mic interviewing me just to receive headlines in boldface. On the surface, pretending to shower me with your love arrogantly, thinking only you could make me happy. Despicable me. As I'm still trying to stay following Christ, but here I am, standing, not refusing to be foul and defiled as I thrust deeper into your rapid hole, like your Alice in Wonderland, while you regulate your taste buds and dunk on me in this poster going above the rim. I have sinned as you gave me And my Jimmy, it's swagger. My faucet is busted thanks to you. Lust through your seduction will jade all that entangles me past August. Graduating from this adult education as valedictorian because you made me feel glorious. Why do I have to be a whore for you? In the end, am I that piece? You want to de-virginize me from being pent up in my beliefs and speak into existence out of imprisonment yet discipline throughout the thoughts, my release? Are you a descendant of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King saying on your knees, free at last in your speech, arresting my development, using my mouth like horseshoes in Tennessee, treating me like the most interesting man in the world? But I ask you first, my friend, why are you saying thirsty? That's that piece.
Holy guacamole.
I find that your poetry has, you have a lot of flagellation, like you really beat yourself up for your past. This is what I'm seeing in this piece. And, you know, the women that have been in your life have been a great temptation for you. And I mean, maybe you're making this up as just a poem, story poem, but that's what I see, is that this, you're trying to find that place where the Lord wants you to be, and the temptation from your past tortures you almost. Would that be close to what you're saying in this?
It's just my imagination running away from me.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I don't know if I should believe that or not, but that's okay. That's all right. But it's a really interesting, you have always a very interesting angle, and the metaphors that you use are quite brilliant, actually. You use a lot of tongue-in-cheek type of metaphors, and I like that. It makes me smile, it makes me sad, it makes me feel a lot of different things. And what did you think, Lisa?
Jimmy, your swagger. I love your wordplay. I absolutely always love your wordplay and the way you bring so many common everyday things into your pieces, something completely from what they were not meant to be.
Yeah. Star quality for sure.
Thank you. This is one of those exercises with the pen. And when it starts, I don't know where it's going. I just let it go.
Your mind works in wonderful ways.
Yeah. Always always interesting, and it's like there's a scriptural type story. You have that struggle with goodness and evil, you know what I mean? There's that balance is never really found. It's trying to get there, but not quite, you know? And that's an interesting place to be, I think. We all fall into that category, I'm sure.
Yes, and plus, I like the way you say,
Oh, do you? Hope it's not too obvious. Is it very Canadian?
No, it's not the Canadian part. It's like you could keep repeating, yeah. Yeah, I went there.
Yes, you did. You did. So, can you tell us anything new from your end of things, what you've been up to with your music, if you got something new to share with before we usher you out to the lounge to the...
This month, I do this every year. I go with end-of-year mixtapes where I take whatever person that I've worked with and put it into a mixtape. I've got so many. It's probably going to be like three of them. I've just finished two for some other people, but it's going to be a collection of poems with music. You'll probably be on it. I know Lisa's going to probably be on it because it's this year. It's going to be
nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your metaphor with us and your powerhouse ideas. I appreciate them very much. We appreciate them very much. And we're going to usher you over to the Still Lounge, the Be Still Lounge. I still haven't got it. Isn't that terrible?
It's the Still.
Lisa, where are you taking him?
He has a royal spot since he's the one that named the place. So you and Rebel can
yes,
go there and get
right.
and drink on.
Yeah, I think I call it the Still. I think that's what I called it.
Yes,
yeah,
it has to do with Eat Well or something like that. I think that's what I called it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you christened our show the lounge, the Still Lounge. I won't forget it
yeah.
now.
Yeah, memories. Yeah, popping cherries, memories. I got it. Yeah, okay.
But with that, we're going to usher you over to your namesake, the Still Lounge. And thank you again for calling in. I hope you stick around and listen to the rest of the show.
I'll do my best. One love, one mic to the both of you ladies.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Now we're going to go for just a sort of a station identification ID for the radio, and here it goes. Entertainment Network. Thank you, Mr. CEO for Real the Poet, for all you do. And we've got four callers waiting. Let's keep going with the callers and see who's on next.
All right, I see area code 501. 501, who do we have on the mic?
Area code 501, who's there, please? Hmm. We'll come back to them.
I'm going to put them back in hold, and then we'll...
Yeah.
We have 573. Area code 573. Who do we have on the mic?
Hello, ladies. It's Sinister Spell.
Hey, Nathan.
Hello, hello. Caught me
How are you
guard.
Doing tonight?
Awesome. Chilling. Just chilling. Relaxing. Yeah. Getting out of being sick. Everybody now has been sick, so... Just relaxing, you know, getting things caught up and hanging out. And remembered your show, so I thought, hey, I know where
right on. I'm glad that you called in. And I'm going to ask you, because we want to know what moves your pen.
Music, life, love,
betrayal. Yeah.
Destiny.
And for tonight, well, how did you determine what you were going to bring us tonight?
That was kind of like on the fence. Now, I wrote this piece about a year ago. Now you've heard it before, but I haven't been able to remember the damn name of it. because I've written so much, you know, since then. And I had to do a new recording of this. I have some old ones. Then I said, great. So this is, you know, I decided this is what we're going to do. This piece is pretty epic. It's a really good piece. So that's how I decided. All right, ready?
Yeah, go ahead. When you're ready to go, we're ready to wait to hear you.
Sorry. This is Imploding Debauchery. Onyx breaks dusk well. Starless, bigger smite. Draws heavy on my cerebral function, annihilating poise. It seems the weight of this plethora fragmented hangs heavy. Wonder, have you ever heard Tommy Gunn cackles exploding behind eyes? Screaming nerves. Despair is an ample acquisitions on the imposition burden. This adversity. Swept explosions of thought reason from those outstanding, attracting, superglued to audacious volatility of supersonic ships around black holes. Aggressively vacuumed into the dismantling of my work through your swift galactic contusions. Opaque shooting stars burn live wire hues in the retinas once blue. It's here. In my epicenter, I was besieged by callous plunder, maniacally shredding apart my internals, bleak graffiti for death, swirling, stranded, and draining gyrations from which you wish to cull this surge, a dissimulation of wicked vibrations that I cower from, so damn cold. Slick and daft, elimination found senseless, it's out of nowhere fast. Plucked from an indulgence, one appreciates when all is gone. Staggered fractions of what's been birthed in cold fear. Still shivers my heart and soul behind the metallic manipulations of the endeavor. Brass hacked an ideal out of reach, like keys to shy my escape. The total confusion as I rust internally in copper-shaded instances of despair. Windswept, your slighted attribution to Keymaster on rock and roll aesthetics. Hinder grace. Binders of the strands, you're disparaging my portals from another view. Karma-coded occasion when we were free. Wait, was I ever really confined in your diabolical intent of contorted libations? I welcome pity. Soft has become the sound of your keys taunting as my world bleeds jazzy dissolutions. There's more. In this prison of solitude, I'm a monkey on display. I dance chained to affection unquieted. Your hands brushed caution my physicality to the vulgar you ensue. Apocalyptic fortune foretelling when there's not enough souls, she will devour you. Close my ambition in dust glory. Find the truth, what it is to be alone. Atop bridges, death and deception's cold. If you go further in your mind, wooded strolls. Escape is no linear image cast for pleasure. Devastating when cold swallows love whole. I'm waiting to deliver contortions of a reality in some abstract Sahara opaque. Not locking your indecision on culminations of where proverbial thrashing will end. What will come in the malted solving of my embodiment? I am seven hemispheres of God's wonder. Feldenkrais regard. Seemingly contorted and allocated by your devilish quiver and decline. A release from Lucifer's free fall. Clouded sheets are such comfy confines. I am the vision of greater standards, slated and rich purpose. Aside your regret. In whole. A reinvention of distant corners of a ridiculously beautiful world. Streaming suspensions of four chambers, receding sleeves, to erupt now falling on cold age faces weathered by wonderment. Taking heed, the sugar cane snaps will ensure these eggshells nurture turmoil. Acceptance begets phantasmical lush endeavors where I bask in the fruition of my growth. Over tragic sunsets, burnt sideways, gusts one carelessly accepts. Well, on occasion, the blind side, the word chaos, against the two annihilates. Let seismic explosions decimate the locks of indifference once imposed. I am not catastrophe imposing in some gypsy juggernaut living for naught. Rather, the light of greater purpose, an astounding will, aside the dusk. I am the conundrum incarnate who still grins, but I giggle as well. And the re-embodiment who I was intended to always truly be. Purpose found in a pudding to buffery and peace.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I was jotting down words and phrases that you were sharing with us, and, you know, when you talk about galactic contusions and being the epicenter and being, you know, having your soul ripped apart virtually, and the wicked vibrations, and, you know, going to where... appreciation comes when only when you lose something, you know, when you've lost it, then you realize what you've had. And I mean, you've had a rough year or so after losing your wife, and you experience that in this poem. I feel, you know, the despair and the review of your life and the truth of your life, and still tortured at times, and but yet you still are able to look out and see a beautiful world, and that you aren't that conundrum. You aren't a catastrophe. You are you. And I really thought this was a very deep piece. What did you think, Lisa?
Phil, you know how I love your poetry. It's like theater. It's not even like listening to a piece. It's like I'm watching you put on a play. You have that way of carrying me into the performance.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Love you, ladies. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and I thank you for calling in. You've got some videos on your on Facebook that show you reciting your poetry, and it is like theater, watching you and hearing you together. It's really quite something. And I would like to say thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate the support that you're giving our show and us. And we're going to send you over to the Still Lounge and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
So we have another caller coming in. And I have a feeling I know who this caller is, but can you go to 111111?
Okay, hold on here. Let me get to it. I know that's my beautiful, beautiful Bella.
Yes.
Bella. Hi, Bella.
Hola. Hi, Bella.
I love you, Bella.
Hi. And I'm so sorry because I have no reception in here, so I'm using my Skype.
Oh, are you? Oh, that's what the 1-1 number is. Yeah, the Skype number. How are you?
Oh, chillaxing, having a staycation in the very nice hospital, Mama.
Are you doing okay? Like, just plugging away.
They're treating me. Yeah. So the doctor said that I can't go home, so it's free Jell-O for me, free Jell-O for everyone, too.
Yeah. So yeah. Can you tell us what moves your pen, my darling?
Life in general, you know. I think people see my Panda is very heartbreaking, sad, and lonely because that's how life is. It's not always flowers and beautiful things and peaches and, you know, we incorporate sadness because that's the only way for you to learn. When you break your heart a couple of times, many times from different paths of life, then you learn, you get up and be strong. So that's where I get my thing.
Yeah. It's full. Life is full of prompts for us to write to and about. And I'm really looking forward to your piece tonight. And what have you got to share with us this evening?
Yes, I am sharing something. And has a word that you love. I know you love water. And congratulations to the Savior. Lisa, thank you very much for accepting me and Mama.
Oh,
absolutely.
So when you're ready.
Are we ready?
You're ready to share your piece. We're ready to hear you.
Yes, I'm ready to share my piece. And the title is Truth Is, because I also want to share that there are people that are having a hard time accepting the truth, and they have to start now or else they will realize they're losing a lot of things. So this is Truth Is. Truth is, I have asked myself why. When first time the moon and the sun swallowed my entire universe and created an atrocious wave, the truth is, I plummeted to the bottom of the Mariana after pocketing thousands of lucioles. For I have already foreseen the future. You will need the shine they bring so to convince yourself everything will be back to normal. Your eyes can only see what you force them to witness. An illusion, a make-believe, the dream. The truth is, I am no longer me. And it pains every flake of my flesh to focus on my own reflection, sinking deeper and deeper neath the pool of reality. And I've seen the face of it. Ugliness in every level, from Ebon to Raven to Sable. Then soon, I will be kissing the hand of Tartarus. And each dimension I have trailed, my soul scream different intensities. The truth is, I wish one day you will understand if once again I will tell you that I am no longer that person. The one with shooting stars in her pockets, or the one carrying constellations around her in case your heart starts breaking and your eyes start shedding its pain. The truth is, I've stared at the face of Israel and pleaded many times with my head pinned on his ground and with bruised lips on his foot. Not yet. Not today. They are not ready. One more breath, then I am all yours. The truth is, I am ready and I am so tired. How about you? When are you going to start seeing what the truth really is? And boom.
Oh, Bella, this is beautiful. You know, I just want to say that you have such a beautiful way to share your thoughts and your feelings and your truth today. And why the moon and the sun have swallowed your universe, but you've seen the future. And, you know, when you experience what you're experiencing, your life does change. You do become a different person. Your goals are different. Your ideas are different. It has a whole different feel to it. And unless you've experienced something like that, it's difficult for those who have not to understand where you are right now. And I just feel that, you know, your future and what you speak, and we've spoken about that ourselves, is a beautiful place without fear. And you have the beauty of yourself that you share in your poetry in a very unique way. I don't know anybody else that writes the way you write. And you're ready. You're ready for that future, and you're tired. And, you know, those that love you and are around you need not be afraid of that truth that you're carrying. You know, you understand fully what it is and what it means. And I just have to say that I love you so much, and you are the most special person, and you provide such beauty to poetry, and this piece speaks very loudly to me, and it's just a wonderful piece of art. And Lisa, what did you think?
First of all, Bella, you know that I love you so much. And that piece just touched me in such a way. You are a light in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go through so many things in life, and we think that we know what we're facing, but none of us really do. And that piece is such beautiful reality.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing that to us.
Thank you very much for that. And I'm so sorry, Lisa. I know this one is heavy, but this is my truth. And I know you guys will understand why sometimes I'm a mushroom. And I love your soul.
We love you too.
Mm-hmm. You have your mark in the world. You have your signature engraved into this world. And I count myself lucky to know you.
Me
blessed
too, Mama.
Know you.
I am.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in. And
thank
I hope
you. One other thing I need, Bella. I need that baby.
Baby. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Oh, we're going to take you and we're going to dance you over to the Still Lounge, and you can enjoy your companies over there. And I think Rebel P. Jones is there. And I think some of those callers might have dropped by now, but there's a few people over there that you can go spend some time with and share your beauty, your light, your firefly. Mi Bella.
Yes. Thank you. I'm heading now, listening. Ciao,
okay.
Baby.
Oh, one love, one mic.
She's so amazing.
So, I just adore her. She's so special. So very special. And so we're going to go and have another caller come on, area code 501.
I'm going to teach my...
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, this is just Jay. It's only me.
How are
only
you?
Only you.
Mm-hmm. For real, gave me that name.
What is it?
Just Jay.
Oh, he gave you that name. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. He tried to give me some super spectacular name that I know I could never live up to. And I was like, nah, man, just Jay, just Jay. He's like, that's it. Just Jay.
So how is your day going? And I'm going to ask you the question, because every week it's different. What moves your pen, and what moved your pen this week or today?
What moves my pen is being in a good headspace. If I'm enjoying myself as far as the alcohol or what may have you, that perfect buzz,
yeah.
Good conversation, you know, or if I see something that really gets under my skin, and I want to write about that, and that first line comes to me, and I can see everything building around that line, that'll move my pen to go ahead and do what it needs to do as well.
Yeah. Now, you had a pop-up show last night that was really fun and interesting. It was real casual and a whole bunch of laughs and some great poetry. And you provide a different kind of an atmosphere with your shows and your poetry, too. And it was just, to me, it was like sitting in your living room and everybody having a great time last night. It was really great.
I'm glad you came through there, and I'm glad you went ahead and stayed. We needed everybody we could get last night, and I'm glad you had a nice time. It sounded like you were having a nice time and enjoying the whole affair.
Well, I really did, and I've tried to get on to Clubhouse, but I don't have a cell phone. I gave up my cell phone a couple of years ago, and I've tried and tried and tried to find a way to get into Clubhouse with a landline, and every time I try to do this or that, it's not worked out, and it's been really frustrating. So I would be going to those Clubhouse shows and your shows if I was able to get into them.
Oh, you
so.
Would love that. You would love
yeah.
that. Let me tell you about it. Do you have a laptop? Or
yeah,
I mean,
do
you have a tablet? What about a tablet?
No, I don't have a tablet. No.
Oh,
but we can talk about that another time, but I just want to support the fact that you have those other shows going on too, and like I said, last night it fell on Epiphany here. It felt like we were in the living room just shooting the breeze and having a whole lot of fun, so I appreciated that about your show.
Appreciate it.
So what moved your pen this evening? What have you got to share with us this evening?
I've been on this whole love kick. I've been trying to spread this love around and get people to send their MP3s or their love and their heartbreak poems into this address. I can go ahead and provide after this, but I'm about to go ahead and get into this love poem.
Great. So when you're ready, my friend, we're ready.
All right.
Speak your mind.
There's a crystal clarity to love when love is pure. Love can cure heart of ill-gotten grooves that are received in the course of lust. Hold on just a moment. All right. I had something else going on in the background. I'll start from the beginning if it's all right with y'all. There's a crystal clarity to love when love is pure. Love can cure a heart of ill-gotten grooves that are received in the course of trusting, in the course of lusting, landing softly or crashing and combusting. Love can be like a perfect gem, a diamond of the highest quality. It is something too rich for me to have, not. For you see, this is a dirge about how I'm in love with love and will make excuses for her, took abuses from her, colluded with her, and ran ruses for her. Oh, how I drank till drunk from the slipper of her, drinking a tall chalice of her delectable nectar as I fondly reminisce of how I wish I had never smelled her, of how I wish I had never helped her, of how I wish I had never held her close to my chest just so she could infect me by injecting me with this insatiable hunger, this deep, lingering longing of wanting to be, longing to her. And she simply spurns my advances. But I will not give up. I shall track her and place wanted posters up her and pursue love as a bounty hunter pounding the pavement like a master metal worker, beating iron from its oak ore, encasing my core, making a finely crafted shell for my heart so that I may brave the fury of her blast furnace and reach my hands deep into the flames and seize love gently by the tips of her fingers, enduring her burning heat until our hearts are fused as alloy, being refined in her forge. As my luggage is melted away and the impurities in my fat are evaporated, leaving the lean man that you see before you today, recharging me to the full, transforming me to the man who accepts love's labor as a joyful slave, who leaves his heart open wide and unprotected, enduring the pain of being seized by love's fangs as she shoves me away, pulling her boat from her quiver. Surely tonight she intends to overkill, bending her bow at me in malice, because love had taken aim, and like a pluck from a harp string, her arrow flies, piercing me in the chest. But I live to tell the tale of love's warrior gladiator poem.
I love, I'm just writing a couple things here. I want to always make sure that I can get something concrete to say. And I really like this piece because you're leaving yourself vulnerable. I mean, the writer, whether this is a fantasy thing or based on true life, I mean, you've left yourself vulnerable. You left yourself open to love somebody that doesn't love you, or doesn't one person who loves another, and that love is not returned, and you keep going after her, and you use words like bounty hunter, and you know, drink her in until you're drunk with her, and you wished you'd never smelled her, and you know that scent that you always remember, and you know, you've referred to yourself as a joyful slave, enduring the pain, seeing love's pain, and yet she still pushes you away, and pierces. You know, her arrow pierces your chest, and you live to tell the tale of a warrior and a gladiator, never willing to give up. You're strong, and you're fighting for love. That's how I read. I'm a hopeless romantic, so this was very. I felt very romantic, too, and it wasn't, I didn't get the impression that, you know, this was a weak man. This was somebody that knew there was something there with that person and went after it, even though she didn't reciprocate right away. I just thought this was a lovely love poem. Lisa, how about you?
Jay, you know how I'd be about your stuff. You'd be telling these stories. I'd be seeing a whole anime movie in my head when you tell your stories.
I think I heard you say that before.
Yeah, I have this whole, like, I don't know, it's something about your voice that creates this, like, John Henry type character in my head, and I'm watching you walk through these stories when you tell them.
Yeah.
You have such strength. Even in your vulnerability, you have such strength in what you say. Your voice is very convicted, and that's what I love about your poetry, because no matter how much you expose your emotions, you still sound like a strong man.
Oh, wow, that's huge right there. I don't think I've ever received that compliment right there before in my life. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for calling. And do you have? Can you tell us what's up for you and your shows before you leave?
Yes, ma'am. This Saturday on Epiphany, me and Gina, we're going to be doing our thing again. We're going to be spinning poets until we, and then the next following after that, we're going to get back to our interview thing. But we were trying to go ahead and get our feet together because we're going to have Jamal St. John. Jamal St. John will be coming through Clubhouse over at the Small House of Poetry. Mm-hmm. Melissa Ellis came through there, and she brought a friend with her. She was so impressed with what we were doing over there at Small House that she brought a friend to the interview, and it just so happened to be Jamal St. John. And he sat down there in the bottom of it, and he said he had to be a part of the one of these interviews, and we're making that happen. So if anybody know anything about Jamal St. John, you know that this man is from another planet.
Wow.
And we're looking forward to that. Yes, ma'am. Look him up on YouTube. He's been with the New Eureka Slam teams, and this guy has about this is what happened. This is his story on his very first poem. He used to do poetry around the house and to his mother. And his mother said, you need to go ahead and do this in front of people. So on his 19th birthday, his mama had took him down to the New Eureka and entered him into the contest, and the man won.
Wow.
The man won. The boy won.
Wow. Now, yes. So what time did that show start?
You can make it, Lady A. Hey, Lady A, you can listen as long as you go ahead and take the I'll send it to you. We'll discuss this in the back.
That'd be
great.
That's
all we got going.
Thank you so much, and thanks for calling in and sharing your love poem. It was beautiful. And we're going to take you over to the Still Lounge, where you can be still or not and have some fun, and hopefully you'll hang out for the rest of the show. Thanks for calling in.
I'm going to do the humpy dance. All right.
one love, one mic. So that was just Jay and his beautiful love poetry, and it was really great to hear him share that. And I'm going to go for another station identification, right now, and here it goes.
This is Tiffany Radio, the real the next phase is online radio. Epiphany.
From one amazing studio to the other.
Epiphany Radio.
And if you're listening in and you want to take part in the show, you can call area code 319-527-6300. Press 1 to raise your hand so you can take part in our show. And I see we have one caller in there that hasn't got their hand raised, but I invite you to raise your hand and share a piece if you'd like. And Lisa, I'm going to ask you, what moved your pen?
Actually, my pen was moved. This piece I wrote about maybe a month or so ago. It was from a conversation I was having with a friend of mine about the way people treat you. And so that's what moved my pen for tonight.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing you say your heart. Speak your heart, my girl.
All right. The piece is called It's Time. I've always had to be strong, stand up to life's storms and conquer, expected to fight every headwind and defeat it. I wasn't allowed gentle graces, made to suck it up and just get past it. I was told you work to live and live to work, and happiness came in the afterlife. And me? I just kept drawing from an empty well, always giving, never expecting to be filled, constantly digging deep, dishing out, pushing through, trying to save the Titanic with a mop bucket. So now, after decades, no one sees me as empty. Anger flows when I have nothing to give. And depletion has become my home. I struggle to care for me, feel selfish. I believed in their gaslight, thought it was noble, never understanding that my love was wasted on those who never saw me. So I'm taking stock now, fighting remembrances of past demons, trying to find the me I was never allowed to value. It's time. I'm lit. You've just been serving.
I really like this piece. You know, you have said so much in those lines. And how often do we struggle with guilt if you do something for yourself to make yourself a better person or whatever it happens to be? And it's sad, too. This is a melancholy piece as well. And I know your struggle through your life has, you know, you've been a powerhouse, even though when you're in the midst of it, it doesn't seem that way. But you have conquered, you know, and now after, you know, a lifetime, and I'm the same way, like after a lifetime of trying to be, make everybody happy and be the support person, and you look around and nobody's supporting you. And so then you have to look at yourself and say, you know, that your love, well, I don't know if it was wasted for those who never saw you. I think that one day you may not see it on the earth, but you'll see perhaps in the afterlife what your love meant to them, even though they haven't shown it back to you. And I think you have a story to tell. You have a really powerful story to tell about survival and success, and you've been all of that. And a bag of chips. So I think you've really done something terrific here. And I know your other pieces are very much a portrait of who you are as well. And I appreciate that about you. I really do. That you're real. You're so real. And all too often, people take advantage of somebody like that. You know, somebody like yourself that's, they know is honest and knows is kind and loving and will accept anything from you and then turn around when you need it and they're not there. It's hard to swallow that. I feel you. Was there something in particular, like a particular happenstance that took place that made you write this, or was sort of a general overview of life, or?
It was a discussion I was having actually with La Perla Negra. And it kind of brought these thoughts up because I have always been the person that everybody kind of comes to when they need somebody to lean into or they need something, you know, and like even like in a monetary sense, pretty much everybody I know makes more money than me, but I'm the one they come looking for when they're broke and need something. But if I ask for something, they don't have it. And you know, my family, I was told as a child that I was born to take care of my parents when they got old. I never in life thought that, you know, my life was meant to be free. I thought I was going to be, and I was pretty much there to take care of them no matter what it was I was doing. I've left amazing positions because my parents said they needed me home. And so I pack up everything and I go home just to find out that they didn't really need anything. They just wanted me home.
Wow.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time, and I took care of both of my parents until they died. My father passed in 2004, actually it's coming up on the anniversary of when he passed. He passed on December 20th. And I was there through the last 4 months of his life and his illness. and took care of him as best as I could, and was driving 3 hours back and forth from where I lived to his house, and trying to take care of him as best as I could. And the weekend before he passed, I had the flu, and the doctors told me not to come because his system was so weak. And so I didn't see him on that last weekend, but the last conversation we actually had, even to the very end, I was my father's property. The last thing he ever said to me was, "Girl, you're mine."
Wow.
Yeah. And then after he passed in 04, I took care of my mother for years. And she never saw a value in what I did. She would ask me to do things like balance her checkbook, and then she'd make me take her to the bank to make sure that I didn't put down numbers that weren't right.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I have always been the one who had to take care of everyone. And when she passed in 2019, I was with her, and then she had made arrangements to donate her body to science, but she still wanted to be put back in the ground next to my father. So I stayed in place for over a year until they returned her to me. And I went out to the cemetery by myself with a grave digger and put her in the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I did exactly what they wanted from me. I took care of them both until they died. And so life for me has been weird now because I spent over 50 years taking care of everybody but me. So now I'm kind of starting life over at this point.
You feel empowered by your experience?
Sometimes, but sometimes I feel like there was so much that I missed, you know, because I never had kids. You know, I never had a stable marriage because eventually the husbands got tired of me just running back home every time they wanted. And so I'm on my own on earth right now. You know, it's just me and trying to figure it out. And having those realizations of, you know, when everything went to hell in my life, I could always go home. But there's no home to go to anymore.
So
now
I got
to stand strong whether I want to or not, because I'm all I got.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then you have the people who love you. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't understand the relationships that are developed on this site, like with each other, with the poets and Epiphany Radio, and you really develop friendships. I mean, we may never meet each other in person, but you develop these friendships, and they're so important, especially if you're feeling alone. It's funny because you have some things in common with me. My dad died on December the 10th. And okay. It will be on the 10th of December. It will be 44 years.
Woo!
That my dad. 49 years. Yeah. And it just doesn't seem like that long ago. And I too looked after my mother in the last 8 years of her life. And that's a hard job to do, especially if you have a parent that doesn't like you. It makes it a little bit hard. And I was always different, too, and I think you were different as well. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't think people took the time to get to know me. I know even my siblings, my kids, you know, like, because I am so different than the rest of my family. And I'm sure you found that, too, that you had an edge to you that people didn't understand most of your life. At least
well,
that's what it sounds.
My parents never thought that writing was anything important. I hid my writing for decades because I knew they wouldn't understand it. My father never saw my poetry. I never performed until after he was dead. And my mother saw some of it. And I remember taking her to a gospel poetry slam, and I was performing. And after the show was over and I was putting her back in the car, she was like, where'd you get that poem from? You, I said, I wrote that, Mom. You wrote that? I was like, yeah,
wow.
I wrote that. Yeah.
That must have been so cathartic for you to hear her even say that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's an amazing thing when you can look back and you grow from it, you know? We have two choices, is to grow or be left behind in the dust. And
yeah.
We all have something to offer the world, you know? That was brilliant. And I think we're on the same wavelength. I'm just looking. I think we're on the same wavelength. I'm gonna read mine.
Okay.
I just finished writing it today, so it's pretty fresh. I haven't given it a title yet, but I think I'm gonna call it Reclamation, Reclaiming My Life.
Let me ask you the question. What moved your pen?
Yeah, I feel my life does. My experiences in my life, and every week, every day, there's something different that moves you. And I part of the thing, like for me growing up, is that we were silenced. We weren't able to speak those things that were important to speak about, you know, and the type of childhood we had, and everything was, you know, violent and all the rest of it. And so we weren't allowed, because the neighbors were way more important than how your kids felt. And so we were sentenced to a life of silence, and my three siblings have maintained that even to today. And I never did. I never did. I always found some solace in telling my friend's mother or something like that. I would always talk about it somehow, and I think it saved my life in a lot of ways when you express yourself and you tell people how you feel, and it fell on deaf ears for the most part. But I write about things like that because it's cathartic. It gives you some satisfaction and healing, and that's an ongoing thing every day, you know. So this poem is about that kind of thing, and here it goes.
All right, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Mind breaks, heart shatters, nerve endings dance on your skin, hands tremble from within. Screams roar, I can't do this anymore. No one hears, it falls on deaf ears. No more, I am reclaiming my life. Without those who hate and demand I be someone else. Pointing their fingers, beware, a tree are pointing back at you. And guard your glass houses lest the stone ricochets back at you. Haunted by cruelty perpetrated on the one who carried, birthed, and nurtured you. One who loves you like no other, your mother. Buying into perfection's myth will bite you. Then you will remember your mother. Every generation strives to do better than the one before, giving our children everything we never had. Not monetary gains, but love, security, love, safety, love, comfort, and freedom to speak, and love. Ghosts already haunt and taunt. Keep ignoring your past and the future will be built on sand. No one is perfect. We don't get through life unscathed. My life is reclaimed, and you will never hurt me again. End poem.
Wow. I love the redemption in that piece.
Yeah.
I love how you bring it back around to the fact that, yeah, I went through these things, but I'm reclaiming myself now.
It's hard to do. Like when you're walking through that fire, boy, you're singed and burnt everywhere, and it's sometimes really hard to come out of that spot, you know, and think, okay, we're going to survive this next thing. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage and strength to overcome those kinds of experiences that we have that are so negative in our life. But just because you do and you did and you have, it makes you a hero, like, for yourself. Like, you know, you sacrificed your whole life to your parents. And I find that was really, really sad because you sacrificed a lot. You really did. And it's really painful. But it's a celebration at the same time because you have survived it, and I think that's wonderful.
You don't realize how tough you are because you just live it, you know.
Yeah.
You live through the thing. Yeah, I heard a preacher one time say you've overcome 100%. Of the downfalls and obstacles thrown in your way because you're still here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so,
you have to know your path to get to the future for sure. And if you don't speak about it, you can never heal yourself. If you just tie it up and throw it in the back closet and leave it there your whole life, it just stagnates and festers, and you get infected by it. It eats away at you like worms, you know. And so the work that's done to get to a better place is hard damn work, but you did it, and if I can do it, anybody can, you know. So I'm going to give another station identification, and I'm just looking to see if we have
we have someone else in here.
That's got the hand raised, yes?
Yeah, so let's do the ID and then we'll get them.
Okay, let's see now. I'm going to go back to that first one here. Here we go.
This is Tiffany. Radio. Real.
The next phase is online radio. Epiphany.
From one amazing student to the other. Epiphany.
There you have it. And we have about a half an hour, 30 minutes before the end of the show. So if you want to call in at 319-527-6300 to get in before the Blog Talk Radio lady kicks us all out of here. And put your hand up and when you call in, press number 1 so we can share your poetry. You can share it with us. In the meantime, how about a little bit of a speed round for those that are left? We've got Rebel P and Bella and just Jay and you and I, if we want to do a bit of a speed round. Oh, I think do we have a new caller?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
All right. It's area code 815. Area code 815, who do we have on the mic tonight?
It's Gina Storm, ladies. Happy Friday.
Hey,
Gina. How are you?
I had to come through and support her. I heard you last night, Lady A, at just Jay's pop-up, announced this show, and I was like, I got to make it. So I'm here.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Absolutely.
It was fun last night. I was telling Jay, it was like
it
sitting
was.
In a little party. Yeah. It was great.
It was awesome. I enjoyed that very much. My boys are here. My brothers, just Jay and Rebel P. Let's go. Bella, I haven't heard from in forever, Wary. So love you, and I'm happy to be in the speed round.
Excellent. Well, let's do it. Did you bring something tonight for tonight's show in particular? Because we can do the speed round after you do that.
Oh, what's the topic?
Well, it's just what moves your pen. That's what I'm going to ask you. What moves your pen?
Oh, my God. My life. It's
yeah.
an open book. And if you want to get to know me, listen to my poetry.
Yeah. Excellent. So are you going to spit a piece tonight? You get a free, isn't that awful? I can't even remember what.
It's a freestyle. So, I will read a piece in the speed round. I'll freestyle this one. How about that?
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
So what motivates my pen is the topic.
Yeah.
And
whatever you want, whatever moves you.
Okay, I got you. That's what I'm going to title my freestyle. You move me.
Okay. When you're ready, we're ready.
All right. Thank you. You move me. You move me to want to be a better me. You move me to the mirror so I look at myself and see that I have already survived everything that tried to take me away. So you move me to feel like I can do anything that I want to do. The words that I say are a necessity because I'm speaking the things in my life into reality. I'm not just saying this because I think that it sounds clever or nice. I've seen a couple of things, at least a few times more than twice. Every single time that I had an obstacle in my life, it wasn't easy, but I overcame it. Every adversity wasn't the best possibility or the best place that I ever seen myself in. But once I was there, I had to let my brain kick in. Even if it was something to do with my body and my limbs. When I was in the wheelchair, all I could think was, if I get out of this chair, I'm going to walk as many steps as I can every day. So right now, my personal goal daily is 10,000. I'm walking while I'm talking right now, so I know I'm going to get them. It's early enough for me to see that before midnight, that will actually be a possibility. It's not something that I planned immediately. I started low at like 2 G's. I got up to 6, 8, and now I'm at 10. Anytime that I exceed that, I know just because I made it, it was a win. You move me to believe that anything that I want, I can have, and all I have to do is follow you, your instructions, and listen to the voice inside my head, my heart, my soul that has made all the things in my life turn into gold, every obstacle into a triumph, every test into a testimony, and all the things in my life, I rely on. You move me to greatness because you are the great I am. And the reason that you move me, because you instilled in me the belief that I can. And James Storm, thank you for indulging me in peace.
Wow. You know, it's amazing that you can do that at the, on the top of your top of your head and just out there like that, and it just pulls together so beautifully. And I like the repetition that you used about, you know, you move me to believe in yourself. What better message to give to oneself when you can believe in yourself? And you can move mountains when you believe in yourself. You can do whatever you want, as you said. I feel I can do anything I want. Obstacles can be overcome. And then you let your brain kick in. And the promises and the goals set, like when you were in the wheelchair, to be able to walk again and to walk purposefully because you can. And this was a really great freestyle piece. So how about you, Lisa?
Yeah, Gina, you're like an amazing little powerhouse. I don't have even the word to explain how it moves me when I know that you're doing these pieces right and it's being created as you speak it. I do not have that gift. It is a powerful thing to be able to do.
It really is.
I thank you. Yeah. I thank you guys so much. I don't, like, honestly, I don't think it's a gift. I felt like I was impaired. I couldn't memorize poetry. I couldn't just go into my mind and say, well, I'm going to spit this and recite it verbatim from memory. I can't do that. And then when I would read, as I was reading, I would edit. And I was thinking, oh, God. So I wrote this piece, and they're trying to follow along. So I was in some groups where they did that. You know, you would send the piece, and the groups would listen, and you would recite it. Well, I would make edits along the way, and I called that a key style because I wrote the piece, but then I freestyled around it. And they didn't understand my process, so I had to stop going there. But it was okay because I learned along the way to trust the process. And that's what I do, and that's how freestyle is possible for me. I had to look at freestyle as my go-to, even though I wanted to do what everybody else could do. I'm not everybody else. I'm going to do what I do to the best of my ability. But also, I'm a poet, and I do a really good job, I think, now of trying to read what I wrote. And if I have to make a change along the way, it'll be a word or two. But I gotten to the point where now I can almost do it word for word. So I promised myself I would give it an attempt. I think I've made a very genuine effort, and I appreciate you guys for the space and the mic.
Thank you so much for coming out. Hopefully you'll hang around. I'm going to go through the lineup again and see if the ones that are here would like to do take part in a speed round. So, Lisa, do you want to go ahead and ask them, each one that's got their hand up here, like if they want to take part in a speed round, and we'll start from the very mm-hmm. top to and end the show with Gina again.
Okay. All right. So Rebel's the first one. Rebel, have you got something for a speed round? Rebel P, are you here? Okay, he must be stepped away from his mic, or he's muted. Okay. Let me see. Bella. Beautiful, beautiful Bella. You have something for a speed round?
100 words, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, Gina.
All right, let me check with Jess J. Let me go through the list here. Hold on, Bella. Jess J., are you going to jump in the speed round with us? I guess he's on mute as well.
Well, let's start with what with you, Lisa, and then, so we're going to put everybody on mute, and when you hear you're being unmuted, just go ahead and start your piece. So we're going to start with Lisa, and then I'll go, then Bella, then Just Jay and Gina, and then we'll check back with Rebel, see if he's still, he's able to take part in that as well. And Jaya, because he hasn't responded either. So,
no.
So it's going to be Lisa, me, and Bella,
and
Gina.
Gina, right.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yep.
All right.
You
so
can put me on
mute. I'm going to kick this one off here with this piece called Envy. Hold on. The problem with envy is that we never know truth from perception. What we see presented and the truth of the matter in many cases are miles apart. To the envious, those they see are living a life they themselves desire. But envy fails to understand that the devil rewards his followers well. How else would he manage them? Satan has no long-range plan. All you have is what you can get here and now, and when it's gone, he cares not for your suffering. It's like diving into a beautiful ocean, unaware of what lurks below the surface. You might be rewarded with a cool swim in azure waters, or you might break your neck. I was raised to believe in the old saying, easy come, easy go, and anything worth having is worth working for. So don't be dazzled by fool's gold while treating platinum like tin. Consider the satisfaction of your soul. Instant gratification usually leaves you hollow. The lack of substance carries a heavy weight. So when all is said and done, your enviousness may be all you have left. When you find yourself in need of something real, so consider the high price of envy and the true worth of substance, and choose wisely what you're willing to pay. Lady A?
Yes. Children were not in her plan. Egocentricities imagined riches provided by a man. Married 3 times, a doctor, an engineer, and then her cousin, her financier. A loving father and dispassionate mother, an only child, she was smothered. Pampered, spoiled, boarding schools, leather gloves and leather shoes. Children were not in her plan. She could not stand alone. She needed a man. Her choices were disasters, and we kids swept up the ashes. Mixed with tears and screams of terror, a feast for lives tortured forever. We heard, we watched, we traveled into the fiery pit, the one our parents lit. Children were not in her plan. She left us with her battle scars from the man who was our father. Fear was his name, a moniker crowned to be ashamed. His companion, Scotch, twisted his mind and powered his fist. We 4 hysterically watched and stood as they stole our childhood. Children were not in her plan. End poem.
Perpetually yours, an episode. Dear Andy, I remember the very first moment my eyes laid on yours. A confession rolled out from my tongue and, without contention, mine whispered, I break souls. And with all your might, with all that I am, your loving arms stretch wide and free, bringing Ian and gazillion of stars between us. Since then, I've been riding you. I've been etching you in every part of my rib, deep enough to introduce you to the fiber of my flesh. I made sure that depth will exist enduringly, no matter how much the billion stars try to bury us. And in bated breath, I will always whisper into your soul that my love has found its home in you, a place where my heart learned to fall on its knees with closed eyes and palms together, while lips murmuring prayers from the soul, an intimate desire uttered by sanguine lips. Te amo. Your love is the strangest abode I will always come home to, no matter what. Once again, I am tucked in the sleeves of your arm, bandaged with faith, hope, and caritatem. Who, once again, only with you, perpetually yours, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all that I am. Isabel.
Gina?
I was on mute. I apologize. I put the trash out constantly. See, it's garbage day. And if it'll smell overnight, be bad, I daily have to take it outside. I'm sorry. I got OCD, and that'll make me mad. So regularly, as a necessity, I've been cleaning house, emptying the indoor trash cans, recycle can too. Sadly, some things can't be recycled. It's simply trash and no longer serves a purpose. Maybe for someone, but not me. It can't be reused or turned into something new. Won't be repurposed, salvaged, cleaned, polished, or can't be given new life. At least not in my current life. I have to leave it on the curb in those plastic bags, paper yard waste bags too. Larger items than those bins, carefully marked cans. I'm making sure not to let any of that trash back in. I had to move on successfully, never looking back. That works for me. Dodging the mess above the stress, leaving the junk for garbage day. Every grudge-holding relative with only negativity to give, every old or used-to-be friend, especially each ex who is dying to get back in, feelings of doubt and fear left behind, no love to reciprocate. I'll be honest with you, that's what I hate. See, there's no place for y'all in this new year that's coming up. Last but certainly not least, those dreaded fucks. I have none left. Let's leave their useless ass behind also. Those pesky feelings that have no ending and a shady beginning. I'm done. I've been carrying my heart on my sleeve, being hurt by the selfish and greedy, attracting those who have no love, but for me they take constantly. It's trash day. I'm hearing the truck approaching. Self-care has to be. Being drained constantly. I've been hurt too deep. Smart enough to save me. I was generous and sincere. But right now, the math ain't mathing. So I simply have to say, au revoir. You're out of here. In peace.
Wow. That was excellent, everybody. I'm wondering, Lisa, if we could try Revel again and Jay.
All right, everybody's mics are open, so let me see. Rebel,
yeah.
Are you there?
Yo, yes, I am.
You got something for the speed round?
Oh, yeah, so. Wet dreams and space travel. I entered her universe through the inviting gates of a valley. I thought I saw stars, instead I saw sparks of divinity. Not a sexual experience, but something far more deep. A touch from her fingers outlines the stories of my soul and its history. And she points to the stars and she whispers gently, I know who you really are. I enter the deep so deep that I read what she wants, what she needs. As I release all of me in the sea, her quivering knees shake against me. I've gone as far as she needs me, thus far as convinced me the magic between us is more than just dreams. The rivers of sensations, this overwhelming temptation, her succulent mound silhouetted in moonlit windows crave my lips to kiss those. Softly caressed with eager thrust and moans. We float through the nights in fluent movement, wet gliding bodies on waves of ecstasy. We become one physically, psychologically, and sexually. And intensity like planets collide as we dive, hearts and minds. Orgasmic galactic, no longer skin-to-skin penetration. Our souls describe heavenly skies as our sex allows us to leave this material reality. I taste you as you shake and shiver. You take me as you quake and quiver. This experience will be more than just memory, but a change in the universal frequency. Peace.
All right, I'm going to leave you open, Rebel. You can mute yourself if you want. I'm going to check on just Jay again. Let's see. Jay, you there? I think
he might be on the other line with me.
Oh, man. What's going on?
Jay, are you there?
I sent him a message.
Let me hang up with him. Maybe he's stuck.
All right, hold on. Let me see. I'm going to see if I can get him right quick.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to put him back on mute until you find him.
So I'd like to say a thank you to our callers. And first of all, I want to say thank you, Lisa, for being my partner in crime. And I think we had a really good
show tonight with some excellent poetry. And, you know, we're newbies at this, but I think we're coming along pretty well and working well together. I enjoy working with you, Lisa. And I want to thank Rebel for calling in, and Bella, and Just Jay, and Gina, and we have two other people that are on that didn't put their hands up, but I thank you for calling in and listening, and anybody else that was listening online. I know Danielle was, and I'd like to just give another shout-out to our CEO and his raw links. I appreciate us being able to have this show because of you, For Real the Poet. And so why be average and be raw? So if anybody else, did you get a hold of Jay?
I got him. I brought him with. He's in the poetry.
Oh,
over.
I thought he went to sleep.
No, I got him. Well, I'm not going to say he went to sleep. That would be snitching. I'm just going to say he's back.
So, Jay, have you got a little piece to send us home with?
Yes, ma'am. Just a moment.
Thank you. I got your text message, Rev. I love you, bro. That trash day, that is today old. I wrote that this afternoon.
So, you ready, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to mute my mic. Go ahead.
Speak, my brother, speak.
Hello.
Okay.
Are you ready with a poem?
Yeah, I had to, my line was tied up. I had to go ahead and get it right. I'm ready to go ahead and do it now.
Okay, great. All
right, name of this poem is called Liquid Legacy. Lies within the quandary of entangled tentacles, words deep from within recesses rarely spoken, aroused from their slumber to speak their meaning, to be spat and said anew. But like the wind through winter trees, there's very little to hold on to, so the thought flies away into the emptiness of obscurity, becoming smaller and smaller till blurry. Once again forgotten, like the joy a baby had when laid on fresh linen cottons, leaving only the warm echoes of mother's love. Words can carry the thoughts of a consciousness across a continent to the shores of a beach of black sands and a sun of blaze orange like a tiger in harmony, perched at his favorite hunting hiding spot, poised to leap from the virtues in these verses, with the purpose of a porpoise reaching to breach the surface, only for the words to be sprayed away into a sea of consonants and vowels, to drop to the fathoms of abyssal depths, waiting for the day to be uttered again in all of their opulence and decadence and minuscule frailness, when spittle is spat like silken webs, gathering words in its basket of goodies to be consumed, becoming one of a multitude of similar memories of faded dreams. Like the hump of a dromedary, it will be there when needed. After being consumed and disposed as refuse, with the power to add color to a small but beautiful flower that bravely stares into the rays of the sun, glinting a cold upon its petals, for lovers and pollinators to be drawn to and enjoyed until its season is done. When the winter winds come, now these same words speak of stillness, solitude, grave seriousness and struggle. And when the first bloom appears, even these words I say today will be forgotten, leaving behind a liquid legacy. Paul.
Woo-hoo! like that.
That's my partner.
I had to hang up from your Uber, Gina. I went ahead and just jumped in my own ride over here.
All I had to say, I seen you in the chat. All I could in the lineup. I got conference call, blog talk, bestie, and I'm thinking, how is that possible? This Jay, it's your whole life. How you gonna bring this here and shut the show down? Now the mics are melted. I'm gonna call Larry and apologize.
Jay dream walked right up in this bitch.
He did not.
So does
care.
Anybody have a last-minute something or other they want to share, like a comment or something that you loved about the show tonight? I loved everything about the show tonight and everybody. And I thank you again for bringing such great poetry and making us smile. So if you've got a little, I don't know, a little something to share before we got about 3 minutes left. And,
I can do mine in 30 seconds.
Okay. Go.
Pitch me and Just Jay at the Just Jay and Gina show here at Epiphany. Same call-in number on Blog Talk every other Saturday night. Catch us at the Small House of Poetry on Saturday afternoon at 2 Eastern, 1 Central. On Sunday night, this week we're going to have breakdowns of poems from poets who call in, because sometimes you want someone to listen and understand where you came from. I'd like to ask, what were you doing when you wrote the piece, or where were you? Because to me it matters. Like, I'd like to be outside if possible. I like to hear water and waves. So we do things like that on Sunday night in the living room. But next Sunday night on the 10th, we're going to have Jamal St. John. And he's going to show up and show out. And make sure that you catch us also to start your week and your morning on Monday at AM Drive, where we have topics and questions. There's a topic of the day. There's a group request question. There's what's in your cup? Where are you calling from? How the hell is the water there? As well as Black Facts 365, because we're not just black in February. We're black all the time. We have commercials that we recorded of our own, and instead of tracks that we play like a normal AM call-in radio show, we give you something that we feel like everybody deserves and needs, and that is mini speed rounds. So you can catch me and Just Jay there. He doesn't want to add anything. Thank you so much for having us. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Thank you for being rebel friendly.
Thank you for calling and staying and listening all evening too. That was really great. And Bella's gone. She dropped off. And Jay, Gina kind of filled in what's going on. You got any final last words?
No, I've been listening to the show and what y'all been doing. This right here is a good start. You know what I'm saying? I'm really enjoying what you guys are showing us.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. Even like our show, we had to get our timing together and all them little small things. But you guys have all the key components to go ahead and make this be a smashingly good success.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. It's so great. Lisa, I want to say thank you again for another successful evening, sharing the evening with you. And I think that our show was inspirational in a lot of ways and certainly interesting. And the poetry was fantastic. And I thank you so much for being partners with me in this.
And thank you also. You know, it takes both of us to make this thing work. So I appreciate you and all the callers that called in tonight and shared their poetry and their inspiration with us. And we look forward to seeing you guys again next week. Renaissance is taking a sabbatical next week, so we will be back on next Friday.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. So with that being said, we're going to just skip over to the still lounge for a few seconds to hug everybody and say thanks again for being a part of our lives tonight. And it's not a show unless you're in it, so I appreciate every one of you. So with that, I bid you adieu, and good night, all.